Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our first in-person meeting since the beginning of COVID. Welcome to those who are online and those who are present today. I'd like to open this meeting in honor of the fallen peace officers who are being recognized at today's ceremony out in front of the government center. And with that, let's go ahead and open the meeting and do our roll call, please.
Sure. Director Villasenor?
Here.
Director Basua? Director Sobel?
Here.
Director Newman?
Here.
Chair Hernandez?
Here.
Vice Chair Wedge?
Here.
Director Quady? Director Rodriguez? Director Campos? Director Levere? And Director Perez.
Here.
And Director Earlrich. And I do know that Director Levere and Director Campos might be late. They are coming from there. So we'll see.
And we do have a quorum.
We do.
Very good. Thank you. And Director Newman, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I would. Thank you. Me? Okay.
The next item on our agenda is the oath of office for new BCREA board members.
So I do, let's see. Mr. Perello, I have you down as needing to take the oath of office.
Okay, I just checking my city. I'm supposed to be the alternate, so normal, not here.
Perfect, yeah. Director Basua is not here, so you can have a seat and I'll get you a name tag, but you do need to take the oath. And we have Leah on Zoom help us lead the oath.
I am unable to see the boardroom, so can you just let me know when you're ready?
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, so you're just going to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
Okay.
State your name. Sorry. Go ahead, Mia.
Okay, I'm not able to hear him. So I state your name, do solemnly affirm that I will support and defend.
I, Bert E. Perello, take the oath and I will solemnly defend. And please speak up, because I can't barely hear you.
The Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
Constitution of the United States and Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
To the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
I take this oath without any reservation. That I take, please repeat it.
That I take this obligation freely without
any. Mental reservations.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
That I will and faithfully discharge the duties about which I'm about to enter.
Thank you very much and congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome, Director Perello. Nice to have you. Okay, our next item five, is approval of minutes from the February 16, 2023 board meeting. Everybody had a chance to look at the minutes, and if so, I am happy to entertain a motion to approve. Second?
Okay.
All right, thank you, Mr. Sobel. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Thank you. Okay, approval of minutes. We have completed agenda review. Are there any changes to the agenda? The agenda corrections? None? Okay. Item seven, public comments. Do we have any public comments for today?
I don't know.
All right, director comments. Comments from any of our board members? Okay. Next item, item 9, approval of Javier Sacido's contract amendment.
Yes, this is an amendment to a contract with Javier, who's here. Do you have any questions? We've had this contract for almost 10 years.
I believe 15 since the
So we've been extending, but we are extending the contract for one more year. Javier's in charge of our outreach for different programs. He's the one usually doing helping our shop at his own events, and also when residents have questions about energy retrofits or anything that they need to do, he also helps us with our 3C rent program later about. So pretty much he's our go-to person. He has contacts out in the community and contractors. So we want to continue to send us billable trades. He's our go-to guy. He also manages our green business program. So if any green business that needs to get certified, he's the one that does all the outreach. And I believe if we also have green business recognition in the council meetings, he will be the one to kind of do that.
Any questions from staff?
Oh, no,
no
questions.
Go ahead.
Clarification. So I'm seeing this, but I heard this is a contract, an extension of the contract.
Yes.
Is the contract written that there will be an extension of the contract?
Correct.
It is written.
Yes.
The reason that I asked, I've been on two boards recently with contract renewed, they never went out to bid. I questioned it. They said, well, they have done a very good job in the past. I'm just concerned that this public money was not to bid. We covered that there's an extension of the contract built in. So we're exercising that extension.
Yes. The original contract built in and ran with the annual extensions, and we've gone out to the board, and those extensions are there that we
went there. So every year the contract is extended, there's automatic renewal of another year's extension of contract.
Correct.
Without the opportunity for more public bid.
We haven't gone to a public bid yet. We've been renewing with that.
Oh.
But there's if the direction of the board isn't getting good again, we can do that. But we haven't done that yet.
Just express my view here. I'm going to go on this, but simply for the reasons I've stated, this should
I would like to note too, Javier's contract is usually under $60,000, and that's the county's threshold whether it needs to go to bid or not. So if a contract's under 60, the county doesn't require it to go to bid.
I would also say on behalf of staff and Javier is that Javier offers some very unique experience that we would be very hard pressed to find elsewhere. I mean, his service to the county has been, I think is irreplaceable. I mean, there's years of experience, years of relationships that he's built. He's the face of VCREA and, I think it would be very difficult for us to find a good replacement that could come in with that level of experience that he has. Any other comments or questions?
I move approval of contract extension.
Second.
Very good. Motion to approve. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Javier, for your service, and we're glad to keep you on board here. I don't know what we would do without you.
Thank you.
Item 10, approval of the general and administrative budget for fiscal year 23-24.
Yes. Hi, I'm Kelly Pratnoff, staff at VCREA. Included in your budget is proposal for the budget for fiscal year 23-24. on the handout in gray, just for reference, is the approved budget that's been previously approved by the board. What we're asking you to approve today is the budget for fiscal 23-24, like I mentioned, as well as the service rates that are found on the second page on the comparative analysis, the service rates we use for our contracts.
Any questions about that? Yes, Director Newman.
Thank you. I'm not sure if this is a budget or a process question for item 12, but given that there are funds there for coaches, I'm wondering if there are contingencies in the budget if it turns out suppliers are unable to deliver coaches. What happens to those firms at that? For example, we enter into a contract and then a supplier is not able to deliver. And just one more note, the reason I'm asking is that our city has just gone through this exercise.
Heather Allen, BCRA staff, working with the City of Thousand Oaks staff on the implementation of the EV blueprint and the e-bus issue with batteries not charging correctly and what you're getting to batteries. So for that specific issue, we are working with Energy Commission staff on what to do about that, since it's part of the grant scope work, and if we can have an extension as part of the grant.
Okay.
But we have not met with Energy Commission staff yet to discuss the details. That's coming in the near future.
If for whatever reason a supplier contracted and cannot deliver for some reason, do the funds then go back into the agency's general fund, or how would that work?
The line items for the e-buses, if we have no resolution, which is very unlikely because they want to get the buses on the roads, it would go back to the energy.
Let's see. Thank you.
That scenario is very unlikely.
I think it is as well, but we did just have this experience of the supplier that's unable to work. And we want to find another supplier. We expect to spend the money with another supplier, but we also needed to build some plans to do that.
I can provide an update to the BCRA once we have one.
Great.
Except for the process question for our budget. Yeah, so we have it. This is based on most of our budget is on grant. So we go by the grant guidelines and we are asking for that extension. That's our first intent to actually extend for any grants. But just, yeah, for the process, is just approve this with how we add that there's our grant funds and we'll go by those regulations.
Very good. Thank you.
And I'd like to note for the record, Director Ulrich and Director Levere can join us.
Welcome. Oh, thank you.
So my apologies. Caltrans doing some work on 33.
Yes, I came that way this morning to Pasadena. So, okay, we are on item 10. We're not done. I'm just bringing these folks up to date where we are. We're on approval of the general administrative budget fiscal year 23-24. That's item 10 in your packet. Okay, Director Perillo.
The hourly rates, have they increased in cost of living?
Hourly rates?
Sorry.
He had a question about hourly rates.
Have the hourly rates increased? Is your cost of living increasing the hourly rates or are they status from the previous year?
Yeah, our rates are based off the county service rates. So we use what the board approves for the county rates.
Did they increase?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Question, thank you, Chair. And it's looking at the budget expenses. I know we talked about maybe coaches, sort of explanation was given about that in terms of obstacles, delays for team equipment. Is that on or the same then for the Gold Coast Transit and the larger increase to $422,000? Is that the same?
Yeah, that grant's a 3-year grant, so we've just been trying to spend the funds as they go. But with the grant ending in June, currently with the grant ending in June of 2024, those funds should be spent by then.
Any other questions for staff?
Wondering if this is for my personal benefit and background. I see the notation about the local government partnership funding. There was an assumption back earlier that it would continue since discontinued. What's the future for that source?
So that was a local government partnership fund that we received from SoCalGas and Edison, and that ended in 2020. 2021. So, yeah, we were with the hope and assumption that they were going to continue that funding, but they just included, so we just have that 2-year budget. So, that's what we have that forecast. So, no longer funding.
I wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
And I have a question also. It's kind of a personal nature, and I don't even know if it applies to the budget. But the first question is, what is the county's position on leaf blowers? Are we directing leaf blowers to go electric? Or is it just a suggestion? And if we are there any grants that we're looking at that would help fund the replacement?
Yeah, currently there is no direction from county, but the county staff, we have been working with our GSA staff to kind of look into what are the options. So they have tried out equipment. I know there is a program with APCD to kind of see there's options. I know there is a fair coming up. I believe it's going to be in June. The APCD, and you're also kind of helping those at statewide kind of to do like a demo of all the equipment out there. I believe that it's going to be in Oxnard. We're starting to get more information about all that kind of set in place. But there is, I don't know that there is any clear direction from county or city, but we are working with HC to encourage the use of electric equipment.
Okay. Yeah, the reason I asked is my family lives in Pasadena, and the leaf blowers are mandated now, effective, I think, as of yesterday, to use electric leaf blowers. And so they're all scrambling, all the gardeners are scrambling to replace their leaf blowers, which are quite expensive. And the batteries themselves are expensive, up to $1,400 for the batteries. They only last a couple hours. So it would be nice if APCD, continue that funding.
Yeah, we're considering funding, but we'll confirm what the dollar amount is, and from that, the fair, we'll be sure to kind of find out.
Thank you so much. Sorry to get off there a little bit. Okay, can I have a motion to approve the 23-24 budget? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Moving on to item 11. This is a 3C REN program overview. I believe we have a copy of the presentation in our packets.
Yes, I think you all received a copy of the presentation. We wanted to take this opportunity to give you all in order to celebrate back in person, and also celebrate a day from CRE at CREA. And this event have been working together for, I think, now it's been 2 years. And we have Ian here with us. He's going to give you a quick overview of this event and kind of most highlight the accomplishments of what they've done and an insight into our programs and all the activities of the 3 times that we're working on. So this is a program with Tanya.
Hey, all. I'm Ian Logan. I'm Sustainability Division staff and a program manager for CREN. I think most of you are at least familiar with the program. So I'm going to take the time to kind of go a little more in depth in all of our programs and really what we're up to these days. So I'll review our single family home energy savings program, multifamily home energy savings program, our ECC, our Energy Code Connect, and building performance training programs. And then I'll quickly tell you about future plans. Slide. So who is 3CREN? We're the Tri-County Regional Energy Network. We're a collaborative partnership between SLO, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties, and to improve energy efficiency in the region by offering customized programs, currently mainly serve building professionals and households. We're funded by ratepayer dollars that we all pay into our utility bills through the public goods charge. And as a regional energy network, we're able to return these dollars back to our local economy, which has historically missed out on some of these funds. Slide. So our 3 current programs, Energy Code Connect, Building Performance Training, and Home Energy Savings. And I'll talk about our Home Energy Savings program first. They're broken up into 2 sub-programs. We have our single-family program and our multifamily program. Our single-family program is for 1-4 unit properties. This is a contractor-focused incentive program. So in order to access these funds, homeowners must use a participating contractor that's enrolled in the program. And incentive payouts are based on metered energy savings. So this is over the course of a whole year. Basically, you get a a baseline when they before the project and then measure the savings over the course of the year. This way you can essentially qualify any home energy upgrades, so both appliance upgrades and weatherization this way. And the incentives are stackable with Central Coast Community Energy, Tech Clean California incentives, the federal rebates out there. When you stack these sorts of incentive programs, project costs come down significantly. The figure here is on the right is for HVAC swap out from a gas furnace to a heat pump. And we'd be more on, we'd be on the right two columns since we're outside of Central Coast Community Energy territory. But as you can see, especially in the case of hard to reach project, which would be on the right, these incentive dollars on stack can essentially cover the entire cost of these projects. Next slide, please.
Sorry, quick question.
Sure.
Are these income qualifying households or anybody?
They are, yeah. So for what qualifies them as hard to reach would be either part of a CARE VERA program. There are a couple other requirements as well. So eligibility must be a residential building with 1 to 4 units, must be in the Tri-County territory. You can't have added solar in the last 12 months, which is a little bit of a hurdle, but basically it makes it really difficult to get that baseline energy reading. So you can't have installed solar in the last 12 months and you have to have lived in the home for the last year. Next slide. So to participate, you can fill out an interest form on our website and contractors will contact you directly. You'll also be notified when new contractors are available. You can also search, there's a directory on our website. You can search for contractors based on your region and what services you're looking for. So the screenshot on the right to show the 12 contractors currently serving Ventura County, but we are actively recruiting contractors. So this number continues to grow. Slide. And then I think most of you recognize our do-it-yourself toolkits. They're available at all of our county libraries and falls under the single family energy savings program. Next slide.
Sorry, no, are those are for checkout or?
They are, yes, they're for checkout.
And is there any kind of criteria for that or anybody?
No, any resident can go to the library. We actually also have a box for the building here as well in the county grounds. So people are also able to come up to our office and check out.
Thank you, Director Sobel, for asking that. I know we talked about it at our last meeting, but could you just quickly go over the items that are contained in that toolkit? I can't quite see them from here.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So there's LED light bulbs with weather stripping as well, which you can put around your windows and doors to help seal out air. There are outlet gaskets, similar, but on the interior of your wall. They go around the outlet, also help prevent airflow from inside of the wall. Low flow shower heads. Skip the rubber bands. two low flow faucet aerators, water leak detection dye tablets, and a water flow rate bag. There's also something called a kilowatt meter where you can go around and test plug loads on different appliances in the house to see what's drawing the most energy.
And so how are those toolkits actually used? If somebody checks them out, do they actually get to use the supplies or?
They do.
And then they get depleted and they bring them back and then you replenish them.
That's exactly right.
That's really good to know.
Yeah, we saw a lot of, basically right when we launched this program, there was an instant wait list and, you know, slowly getting through that wait list, but we've kind of gotten it into a good flow of checking these out at this point.
Very good. Heather, were you going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say there's items that patrons get to keep, and then the equipment, like the kilowatt meter and the thermometer that tells you the temperature, those are returned.
That makes sense.
Everything's resupplied with LED light bulbs.
And again, only at county libraries?
There are a few.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a great program.
And it's, I understand that this is sort of through the, you know, individual families can check this out and do what they can with the kid. And then when it comes to the building, it's sort of through the contractor, find a contractor that's certified to do this work. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
So they're enrolled in our home energy savings program. You'd have to go through the directory and find somebody that provides the service that you're looking for.
Has there been partnerships with like nonprofit organizations? Just in the front of my mind, because they're having a fundraiser this weekend, and I'm on the board for this. Community Action Ventura County, they do, one of their things is doing weatherization. Are there, maybe you'll talk about it more, but are there partnerships? Is there a way to work together with these nonprofits who are really reaching out to the families that are more income qualifying?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And Community Action is actually an enrolled contracting program. So I'll talk about our multifamily home energy savings program. Next slide, which serves five or more units. These incentives are available directly to multifamily property owners looking to make energy upgrades. So there are base rebate values per unit. So for underserved properties, there's $750 available per unit. Market rate properties, $500 per unit. And then there are additional measure level rebates on top of that. We also offer no cost technical assistance to walk you through the entire process. Next slide. Eligibility, located in three counties, must be an existing multifamily property with five or more units. So this includes homeless shelters, senior housing, HOAs, and university dormitories. The catches in order for your project to qualify, you have to use three or more of the qualifying measures and meet the greenhouse gas reduction threshold, which is 0.25 metric tons of CO2 equivalent per unit, so per apartment. Next slide, please. Example measures, most of these are listed here are heating and cooling, because you'll see the largest greenhouse gas reduction, mainly when fuel switching from gas to electric. But there are also additional measure level rebates for weatherization as well. So it wouldn't be like you have to choose three of these heating and cooling measures. You could also do insulation, windows, that sort of thing. Next slide. So the next two programs I'll talk about are more workforce resources. So those are Energy Co-Connect and Building Performance Training Program. Next slide. So our Energy Co-Connect program, it serves all building professionals, really. We offer services for plans examiners, inspectors, architects, contractors, both residential and non-residential purposes. We offer industry training, regional forums, and what we call the Energy Code Coach, which I'll talk about in the next slide. Our Energy Code Coach is something we've received a lot of great feedback on lately. It's an over-the-phone, online, and in-the-field Title 24 consultation service meant to help building professionals navigate California Energy Code and CalGreen requirements. You can call the hotline or submit an inquiry over our website and receive a response within 24 hours. This service has been kind of interesting. You know, it can be, in the early days, we were willing to get a little more unconventional and support people, you know, the needs of specifically building departments that they were seeing as they come up. So actually for the County of Ventura Building and Safety Department, we met with them and they asked us to create Title 24 compliant ADU plan sets for them, model plan sets. So now basically residents looking to build an ADU on their property can go to Building and Safety and receive an expedited permitting and plan check as long as they build their project, these guidelines. And those plan sets are available in 700, 900, 1200 square feet. They all meet Title 24 with either an all-electric or a mixed fuel resource. Slide.
So I put my question, but the previous slide had the BURG ATR test testing training. Is there free BURG testing?
There is. Yes, I sent that out in the slide packet that you all received. We are sponsoring basically anybody eligible or that meets our requirements. We're sponsoring right now. We have 20 people that we're providing funding for to go through HERS certification to receive their HERS Rater certification. So that's in partnership with CalCERTS and has been, you know, a pretty well-attended program. But yes, we're offering scholarships to folks seeking to get their HERS Rater certification.
Sure, I think for people who need
HERS verification. We don't provide that as a service. No. And then as I mentioned, trainings and forums, there's a variety of free online courses. We also do a few things in person, specifically our forums in person, but they're all designed to increase energy code comprehension, compliance, and enforcement. These, you know, all of these services have been especially helpful to workforce as the code update took place on January 1st. Slide, the building performance training program. So our building performance training program, we serve also all building professionals, current and prospective. We offer trainings on technical and soft skills related to building science and systems for high performance buildings. So our goal here is really to bring industry recognized certification and training providers to the Central Coast, mainly to help people wherever they may be at in their career. So we also provide professional education credits. These are the learning units that architects and engineers and plan checkers are required to get upon license renewal. We also offer certification like the NAR Green designation, pass design and tradesperson certification, and Building Performance Institute certification. With both BPT and ECC, we're actively partnering with the region's organizations, so KIA chapters, International Code Council chapters, our contractors associations, those sorts of organizations, really to make sure that they're in the know of what we're offering and make sure that our, you know, our offerings reflect what's needed in the
It says topics that you've been included here is a passive house. What is that?
So passive house is basically a building standard. It's way above typical code compliant building on things like air tightness and ventilation. So it's basically, you know, it's one of the most efficient structures that you can create with, you know, what's available in the industry today.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear the question, but I heard the answer. So passive house is one of the topics that's included in this training.
Passive house.
It's third bullet. Oh, okay, from the top. Okay.
And it's a more popular European building style, but we're starting to see people adopt it here. It really has to do with sort of air tightness and that air change per hour that occurs in buildings.
Question. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the trades. Do you go into the apprentice programs for the electrical and plumbing? Do you assist the opportunities for the schools that they actually have an apprentice? Do you make a pitch there?
We don't have apprenticeships available.
You make a pitch of your presentation to those?
Yes. Yeah, they're aware of our program, and we try to include them in all, you know, really all of our stakeholders.
Thank you.
Question. Regarding the 1,100 plus individuals trained, how many of those receive certificates? I mean, you don't have to have the exact number.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the exact number, but far fewer. So that was for last year. And last year we held two National Association of Realtors green designations. Those folks would have received a certificate for that. Probably about 40 people attended that. And we did the passive house tradesperson certification where 22 people were certified.
Yeah, that's great service. I think that would be a helpful measure to include in next year's presentation. Thank you.
Great. So our guest speaker series, this is a newer initiative. We started this in October of last year, but you know, a growing area of focus is engaging students, making them aware of the career opportunities of the trades and how those career opportunities can also have a direct impact on climate change. So beginning in October, so the last 7 months, we've talked to 440 students in the last 7 months, and those are in all environmental and STEM related programs. So not just high school students, but the community college and vocational programs in the region. I will say a majority of those guest speaker appearances have been in Ventura County. Next slide. Our high performance fundamentals certificate also targets new professionals. We developed this 6-part series over the past 2 years. We've done a lot of stakeholder engagement, listening sessions, not only but from national experts, but our local organizations and the practitioners themselves, really to try to get a feel for what gaps are out there in the workforce and what they're looking for when hiring new hires. They're all, you know, all the classes are meant to kind of root the local workforce's understanding in building science, which gives them a leg up in conventional practices. And this is sort of our first pilot of like an in-house certificate that we're offering. So trying to build a little bit of like brand awareness of 3C Ren and hopefully, I guess the employers that attend our typical trainings will recognize this when they see it on an application. Next slide. And then just as I mentioned, we work very closely with our local architects. They can be kind of the most interested in a lot of our services because we offer those learning units for them. But starting this year, all California licensed architects are required to attend 5 hours of zero net carbon design related education. So we went ahead and put together, you know, 5 hours worth of coursework that appeases that requirement for them. So all throughout the fall, we were doing in-person workshops at the local AIA chapters, and then that initiative will continue with a virtual series starting next week. And then sort of our future plans, one more. So we submitted a new business plan for 2024 to 2032, and we're requesting $155 million. So we're hoping to expand our current offerings, but also add programs for 3 new audiences. So public sector, commercial sector, and ag. Agriculture being core to our local economy, we want to make sure that the industry stays strong in the face of climate change. So we'll provide assistance for navigating basically all of the energy efficiency programming and funding available to growers. We'd also like to provide energy assurance and resilience centers for those critical public sector facilities and increase energy efficiency services available to local businesses, particularly our small, hard to reach businesses with fewer than 10 people. And that would really go hand in hand with the Green Business Program.
Question. What's the status of this funding request? Is it in play right now, and is there anything that this organization can do to support that request?
I'm not sure. It is in play. We're waiting for approval. Chances are we will be approved for this funding, but we won't know for how long.
Yeah, so it's currently with the Public Utilities Commission, and they're scheduled to give us an answer by Q3. They said, so we're just you're welcome to always submit a public comment to the public solution which is supporting our direct network. So that's always something that we can.
Well, if we haven't already, I think it's good that something formally comes from PCREA in this effort.
Right, including a heads up, you know, when it's going to be heard under the by the commission, and then generate some support among our members. Yes.
I know you already partnered with APCD, but the agricultural sector things important because, you know, EPCD has, I think, 3 or 4 programs. Millions of dollars are flowing into the county to help the ag sector transition from gas burning equipment into more sustainably minded equipment. It's a real chance to get to partner there and provide outreach on spring programs. You know, a lot of farmers are already doing
it. Yeah.
This opportunity. more outreach.
Absolutely.
Wait. Any other questions? And you have more?
No, the last few slides are just links to resources and my contact information if you'd like to follow up on today's presentation. But yeah, if there are any other questions, I'm happy to take them.
Yes, Director Newman.
Thank you. Could you speak a little bit to 3CBrand's interactions with Clean Power Alliance or other CCAs? Do either on the input side, like do its ratepayers contribute toward 3CBrand? And then in terms of incentives, does 3CBrand provide incentives to CPA or other CCA?
Yeah, so to answer your first question, the ratepayer dollars that ratepayers are paying to CPA, those are all included in that ratepayer funding that we receive.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
Including Clean Power.
Yes.
They are,
yes, because the electricity going to, the electricity is still supplied by the IOUs.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I would say CPA, I don't think, has incentive programs stackable with our home energy savings program. I can't speak to why, but for SLO and Northern Santa Barbara County, we're basically cohesive with the 3CB programs and their incentives.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
Yeah, one last question. So I'm always intrigued, are these new programs for 2024? $155 million fast. Public sector, does that include schools, cities, colleges?
Yes.
Yes.
So no limitation on public sector agencies. I just want to make sure because, we all have access to other pots of money and just want to make sure that we're not precluded. Maybe college district that might look at this opportunity. And then if there's a simple description of these new programs, it might be helpful background as this is moving along. So that would be my request.
Okay.
Don't create anything, but if there's something already prepared.
I think I misspoke and said the presentation was in our packet, but I heard you say that you emailed it to us.
It was in the packet.
It was?
The revised packet.
I sent a revised packet yesterday, which included a few items,
okay.
But I will certainly send it out as a follow-up to
me. And then maybe, if it doesn't have the program descriptions in it, which I didn't see up there, you can follow up.
Absolutely, with yeah, with especially the new programs, you can do that.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And Director Ulrich?
Ulrich,
sorry.
Yeah, it's all in that. And I want to profess my unfamiliarity and bordering on ignorance of a couple of these programs. The specifically the front two that involve grants or funding to public residential.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately what are the funding, the budget for those two programs? And then the corollary is how many respectively, how many clients are served?
So we talked about budget yesterday. For multifamily program, we have, I think, for this year, I think $1.5 million. The single family program was just above $4 million for the year. Currently, I can't remember how many projects have been submitted to the multifamily, but both of these programs are really new, launched in the last 6 months. Multifamily program, do you have a number off the top of your head?
I believe there's currently 29 sites, and that equals to maybe around 180 different units. So that's kind of what's going through the technical review process.
But that's the multi.
Correct.
Okay. So and that's the budget for that is about $1.5 million.
Correct.
The residential.
Yeah. So for the single family, the $4 million that Ian said, and then I think about projects. I know we talked about it yesterday, but I think the number for Ventura County. 79 projects currently, single family.
New nascent programs, and obviously
currently in motion. Discussing this recently as yesterday. Thank you so much.
Any more questions? Yes.
And you have I have to say, like Director Ulrich, I'm my wording in this may be a little bit, not fully informed, but earlier in your presentation, you spoke about the state mandates that come down for green building or energy efficient or building, and there's state in our county or in Santa Barbara or in San Luis Obispo, are there any particular ordinances, mandates, resolutions for public building using public funds that go above and beyond? And if there is one for either in our county, wonderful, but if there's something more advanced in Santa Barbara or in San Luis Obispo, what can this group do to bring that to our county? Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I think what you're referring to is called the REACH code. It's about implementing a above and beyond code, mostly focused towards electrification, which would be what we're interested in. OHI has an adopted REACH code. There are a few in Santa Barbara County and a few in SLO County, but yes, there are options for that. We actually, we provide REACH code technical assistance in SLO and Santa Barbara County. We do not in the Southern Territory, but mainly because SCE offers REACH code technical assistance, SoCal Edison. But yes, there is technical assistance available for adopting resources.
So a couple, like you said, OHI and maybe a few up north from actual municipal jurisdictions have put that into their code, but thus far no county unincorporated area of the three tri-counties has
that. Turk County.
We have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have Turk County.
Okay.
County Return, that's not one. There are several cities and counties we do keep an eye on what cities to kind of go above and beyond. We're currently also keeping tabs. Something in the courts about REACH codes and whether those are lawful or not. So we're also keeping an eye on that and making sure that we're kind of abiding to what that new ruling
is. With that case. Well, just so, for our jurisdictions to keep that in mind. If we have an example, county appropriate area, that's something that we can advocate in our jurisdiction. See how that case
goes. Chair, yes, Senor. Clean Power Alliance is also launching a REACH code program, and we can send that information out to the directors.
That'd be helpful. Good question. Any other questions? Okay, and this item is just receive and file?
Yes.
Okay. You don't need a motion for that. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Let's move on to item number 12, updates from the EV coach.
Yes, thank you. So I know we've been sending different appointments and you've been participating and maybe attending some of our EV events.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring Nancy and kind of give you an update of what's been going on, kind of the day-to-day things that she works on. So we have Nancy here, EV coach, and EV update.
Hi everyone, my name is Nancy Gledding and I work on the implementation of the EV blueprint alongside Heather. And I'm going to be presenting, we're getting updates on these three topics, which is our workforce development, our purchase guidance program that we work on, and the charging and infrastructure grant or CFI grant. Next slide. So first is the Power Your Future Scholarship. The state has a goal of 1.2 million chargers by 2030. And we want to make sure that electricians in our county can keep up with, that our workers can keep up with the demand for new charging stations. So we started the Power of Your Future Scholarship alongside the Central Coast Clean Cities Coalition. It's meant to increase the number of EVITP certified electricians. EVITP is Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Training Program. And we're trying to increase the number of certified electricians in the Tri-County Central Coast region, which is SLO County, Santa Barbara County, and Ventura County. And a little bit more about EVITP, because there's a lot of training programs out there. We went with EVITP because it's a nonprofit, volunteer, and brand neutral national EV industry collaboration program. It's 20-hour, it's 20-hour training program with a doctorate certification exam, all of which can be completed online. And EVITP certifications are also required on projects that are EV electric vehicle charging infrastructure projects that are funded by the state. So that's why we're really trying to push EVITP. Next slide. And eligibility is pretty simple. We kept it at just 3 points. First is that electricians must be California State Certified General Electrician. And that's also a requirement to even take the EVITP course. So we had to keep that on there. Second is that they must work primarily in the Tri-County region. And that's so that our funds are benefiting our communities. And last, we have that they must have work experience in a AB 1550 low income or disadvantaged community. And so if they meet these three requirements based on their application, they should electricians should expect to be accepted into the program. Next step after that is that they sign up for the course. Once they have completed the course and passed the exam, then they get reimbursed by us. Next slide.
Okay, question on this, go back to your previous slide. The third, the bottom bullet point on the left side, can you please dig a little deeper and explain that? Personally,
yeah.
If a person lives in a city that is disadvantaged, do they have to work in a disadvantaged situation, or can they work in industrial that's not disadvantaged that is in that city?
Yeah, so this was a question that we got a lot. Electricians don't have to necessarily live in an AB 1550 community or a disadvantaged community. They just have to have somewhere during the community.
In industrial, residential, whatever, anything, as long as they're in that area code, zip code.
Yeah. And then we provided open and block marketing of what those communities are on top of their heads, and we provided maps for them to be able to reach that.
Thank you.
Question. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with AB 1550. What was the essence of that legislation?
It's another way of basically low income or disadvantaged community census tracts.
But I mean,
California Air Director, the California Air Resources Board has a map for priority populations, and it lists the census tracts throughout the state. You can zone in or zoom in, it's a really cool map, and it'll show designated disadvantaged census tracts, low income census tracts, and I believe it also the title for schools.
So basically, it identified communities that would be eligible for these various programs.
Correct. A lot of the state funding and grant opportunities have requirements for a percentage of funding that must be spent in these communities, and so. We try to tie a lot in our EV outreach and funding in electric vehicle charging infrastructure to our more harder to reach.
Thank you.
So those maps, are those available at Cal Air Resources Board website?
Chair Hernandez, yes, but we can send out. Oh.
Okay, thanks. Don't mean to create more work for you, but I'm just curious where I could find it. I don't mind searching it out, so. But maybe for the benefit of the rest of the board.
You have a list of Ventura County areas and cities and census tracts already, which probably do that.
We do.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, where are we? Go ahead.
Yeah. So just some of the highlights of our program so far. We launched the scholarship in February with a informative webinar where we had EVIP co-chair present. So we had 34 registrations for that webinar launch. And as of now, we've had 10 approved applicants from six different companies, and we're hoping to get that number up in the summer when we do more outreach. Some of our challenges have been outreach to non-union electricians. Unionized electricians, we reached out to IBEW. That was a connection we had already. Outreach to non-union has been a little bit more tricky, but we have a couple of leads. For example, Western Electrical Contractors Association, and associated builders, contractors, like some of the groups we're going to be reaching out to next. And we also want to do a little bit less of online outreach. We want to do more in-person outreach. So, for example, tabling as electrical supply stores in our county. Yeah, next slide. Next update is on the this EV purchase guidance program called EVs for Everyone or EVs para Todos. So this program offers free one-on-one EV purchase guidance to income qualified individuals. This has been a really it's been really appreciated by people who sign up for this program because there's so many programs and incentives, so much to learn about getting an electric car. That this has been really useful for our community. So we are collaborating with Community Environmental Council to extend this program all the way to Ventura County. And so since our partnership now, it extends from Santa Cruz all the way to us. And through this program, we also have access to EV for everyone's outreach materials, branded tabling equipment that helps draw in the community. Next slide. Some highlights from this. Since we've been engaging in this program at the beginning of the year, 16 locals have been referred to me, EV coach, for purchase guidance. And we've also had a lot of event support in staff and also materials for outreach and education events. For example, in April, when we had a lot of Earth Day events. One of the challenges is limited staff time. Right now, I'm the only EV purchase guidance advisor for this program here in the county. So anybody that signs up in the county gets assigned to me. And that just means that I kind of have to put a cap on how many people I can take on, otherwise so I can't complete the rest of my my assigned responsibilities. Next slide. And the last update is on the Charging and Proving Infrastructure Grant, CFI grant. This is a really exciting grant. VCREA is pursuing this to fund electric vehicle charging infrastructure and other alternative fuel on public roads and publicly accessible locations. This grant is prioritizing projects that expand access to EV infrastructure in rural and low-income community neighborhoods. The minimum anticipated award is $500,000 and maximum is $15 million. Next slide. So we're working closely with cities of Thousand Oaks, Oxnard, and Ventura to compose an application for charging stations at strategic sites that meet grant requirements. But we're also looking at shared mobility options like e-bikes and also battery storage in rural communities. We're hoping to incorporate all of that into the grant. And the application due date is June 13th. Got an extension, 2 week extension. Really happy about that. And that's what I have on this day. Thank you, Sean.
Any questions?
Do you have any contact cards or anything?
I don't have them on me.
Okay. Show me the information. Question.
Okay.
There is a former elected official, Fran Bavler, lives in an area of Oxford, and she lives in a gated community. There are a tremendous amount of people who bought Tesla cars, and they put their charging units in the garages. The electricity is shared by all residents' electric bills, not for the unit. So it's become a very hot issue that certain people are having to pay for other people's juice. She is looking into, with other residents, she has contacted some people in the city of Oxford, putting standalone charging units inside a gated community. Is there a problem with you assisting something like that inside a gated community that has been a stumbling?
I'm happy to help.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
What gated community?
You know
what gated community?
It's called the Colony. It's called Colony. Chat Labs.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the grants are for public access for, you know, it, kind of the charging infrastructure that we install. So I'm certainly will have to figure out what that means. I mean, it might be under NHOA, it might have to take care of it or figure that out, but we could.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. One other question or any suggestion about your, you know,
being able that you can't take on more of your own caseload as you are a coach, but yet there seems to be more of a demand, or there's folks who are interested in like, is there the potential possibility through funding from the county or from a grant to work with one of the local nonprofits in the county that you know to serve the community that this would serve? You know, I'm just, you know, I can't name any off the top of my head, but you know, there's plenty of them that might be able to share staff time, or you know, maybe you know, a quarter time person where that person gets trained in this and can maybe be the, you know, some other kind of conduit or for that, just as suggestions.
We are including a line item in the CFI grant application to extend this program. This program was mostly focused in with Santa Barbara and Santa Cruz counties because we have an ED coach already. It was expanded to our county. But it's a great program and we would definitely like more funding. So it's going to be part of our grant application Nancy spoke about.
Definitely, if you have people out there who are willing and want more, but you just can't take on the case, so to get more funding for other people to be trained similarly.
There was a statement that you made earlier with respect to reaching out to non-union electrical people. It was hard to get them. Is there a state licensing board? The electricians have license, and you could reach them and get the address and find out who's in your area and contact them that way directly by mail.
That's something I haven't received yet.
And there is a Ventura County Contractors Association too, which I think deals with a lot of the non-union contractors here. Some of the reaching as well.
There would also be business license databases in all of the communities. There's lots of actual information.
Lists aren't given to you because proprietary, you know, issues. Could always say, can you send this to, you know, these zip codes or these particular areas? Here's the flyer, here's the information. You know, I've done that a few times where I wasn't able to get a list from someone, but I gave them the information and they agreed to blast it out to people in a certain zip code.
Thank you, everybody. Anything else? All right, let's move on then to item number 13, receive and file the program update.
Yeah, just basically, yeah, you'll receive that in your agenda package. If you have any questions, once again, highlights of the events that staff has been doing, kind of working on. So, just we are really sure, and then we'll ask if you have any questions, you can let us know or reach out.
Yeah,
thank you.
We don't see that. Okay. Any questions? Yeah. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on then to item 14, general updates and announcements.
I'm going to share one general update. I believe we are hosting a meeting next week in what we call our energy center. So we have, I think we have a number from everyone here, what cities, special districts, community colleges, and where we're at. We haven't met in person also with energy centers in a while, so we're hosting a meeting next week. Just kind of get together, brainstorm, network what's going on in cities or at, you know, community colleges, school districts, and see how we can collaborate. And one of the infrastructure grants might be one, maybe more cities maybe want to join and be part of that. I believe we all maybe received the invite because maybe you'll have somebody assigned from your organization so you can kind of pass that along next week. And we'll give everybody lunch.
The 25th. And what's the date and time is that?
The 25th. Thursday the 25th from 11 to 12:30.
And where was that going to be held?
That's here.
The board, right?
Hall of Justice.
Hall of Justice.
Hall of Justice. Yeah. The Pacific Conference Room. Across the Hall of Justice.
That's the cafeteria.
Oh, yeah, right, the cafeteria. Right.
Yeah. Awesome information.
Okay, terrific. That would be helpful. Anything else? Right, moving on to item 15, items for future agendas. Any requests for future agenda items? All right. Well, with that, thank you, staff, for setting up all the work it took to set up this room for our first in-person meeting since the beginning of COVID. It's nice to see everybody, and we look forward to seeing you next month. With that, our meeting will be Thursday, August 17, 2023. It will be the same format here in this room, okay?
Yeah.
And hybrid, right? It'll be a hybrid.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You might want to check to see how the sound went for those who were online, if we were speaking loud enough, or maybe we need some mics in here or something to so that they can hear. I don't know that they were able to capture everything. But, that would be good feedback.
Yeah, we'll check the recording.
Okay. Very good. With that, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.